Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest today is Connecticut's 1st District Democratic Congressman, John Larson. Our conversation comes as the government shutdown is entering the second month, and also as the congressman is seeking re-election and is facing some competition in the district. Welcome to the show, Congressman. Good to have you here.
Great to be with you, Morgan.
Well, there's a lot going on, and originally when we booked this conversation, I wasn't expecting the government shutdown to be happening or continuing at this time. So let's just start there. The shutdown's continuing. There's no clear end in sight. From your view in the House, I know that the holdup is in the Senate, and there's more we could talk about concerning the issue in the Senate. But from your viewpoint in the House right now, where do things stand? Let's start there.
Well, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all people, said it best. She criticized Speaker Johnson for not calling us back. We should be at work, Morgan. And we shouldn't be at home, and the Republicans shouldn't be vacationing. Right now, people are going to be going without food if Congress doesn't take action. And frankly, Speaker Johnson doesn't make a move unless, you know, the president tells him so. So President Trump has got to say that he wants this to end. And most importantly, right now, currently, and we spent time yesterday with people from Food Share and going to community health care centers, et cetera, for people that are losing health care and are not going to or go without food. This is now. There's an urgency here that needs to be addressed. What kind of person plays politics with food for people? You know, Donald Trump's never had to worry where his next meal is going to come from or what it takes to save and put aside money to pay the heat, the rent, the mortgage, et cetera. And unfortunately, he should call this Congress back to Washington, D.C., end the shutdown, and most importantly, go ahead with the money that's already been allocated for SNAP payments. And that's the food assistance that people see. When I say people, we're talking children, we're talking the disabled, we're talking the elderly, we're talking veterans that are going to go without food because he's trying to make a political point.
I think that Americans across the country are seeing finger pointing here, Republicans to Democrats, Democrats to Republicans. And my question, Congressman Larson, where is the compromise here that we'll see the government reopen? What is going to do the trick here? Because in the last month, nothing's worked.
How do you compromise about whether or not children get food? Is that a compromise? That's not a compromise. That's an absolute necessity. In fact, an essential, the wealthiest nation in the world, the most powerful nation on earth, he's got money to knock down the West Wing. He's got $40 billion he can send to Argentina without congressional consent, and yet he can't feed the people with money that's already been appropriated, money specifically set aside for SNAP that was sent to him, and he says, no, he's not going to do that. This authoritarian rule has got to end, and hopefully a few more people other than Marjorie Taylor Greene are going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, my people in my district are being every much as impacted by this. Losing your health care, losing your food. What do you compromise? So you're only going to have two meals a day? Compromisable points. In terms of getting back there, I mean, I think for opening up government, it's pretty straightforward.
The Senate is currently off until Monday. They broke on Thursday. And it was Thursday night when President Trump on social media said that Republicans ought to end the filibuster, eliminate it, so that they can pass this continuing resolution through. They reopen the government. Is this going to make Democrats crack or renegotiate anything or no?
They've had that power from the outset. Ask the president, where in the Constitution does it call for, and it's not the filibuster that they're dealing with. They're dealing with what they call the cloture vote or a cloture rule. That's a rule of the Senate. And it can be passed by just a simple majority saying we end the cloture rule. That's a rule that the Senate has. It has, it's not in the Constitution. And in this case, the president's right. You know, they could just simply get rid of that rule, which they should. And then they can, you know, they have the power. They have the majority. He's right about that. We think that they should vote, but we think they should vote to make sure that people don't go hungry, number one. And number two, make sure that people have their health care. I mean, that's, you know, what's going to happen to the people in the state of Connecticut. And if you were at the healthcare centers with us yesterday, and a poor woman coming up to me, she had two children, and saying, what am I going to do? How do I get healthcare for my children? I mean, these are everyday concerns of Americans. There's no compromising when it comes to your children's healthcare. Come on. And they know that. So do our colleagues. I mean, when you got Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, hey, Johnson ought to be embarrassed by the fact that he hasn't called us back. And oh, by the way, where is the Republican plan? If they're doing away with the Democratic plan and they're putting all of these people, they're denying them the tax credits for Obamacare or taking them off of the Affordable Care Act, what's their solution? It's extraordinarily frustrating when you know what the right thing to do here is, and the president knows this as well as both members of the Republican House and Senate. They have the power to do this tomorrow, today, if they chose. But Johnson has not called. We've only been in work. If most people knew this, they'd be horrified. Since July 5th, after they passed the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, where they did away with people's health care provisions, we've only been in office 19 days. They haven't come back.
This is Face Connecticut. For those of you who are just joining us, I'm Morgan Cunningham, and my guest is Connecticut's 1st District Democratic Congressman, John Larson. We're talking at the moment about the shutdown, and later in our conversation, we'll talk about his reelection bid. I do want to point out to a remark that Senate Majority Leader John Thune mentioned this week, that there may be a path forward in the coming days, suggesting that there are some talks happening. What does he mean by that? What are you hearing in your chamber?
Well, in our chamber, unfortunately, the Democrats have been the only ones that have been there. Johnson has sent everybody home on vacation. And as I said, it's only a few people like Marjorie Taylor Greene that have been demanding that we come back because they understand how this impacts. Brian, the irony is that more red states, a.k.a. states that are controlled by Republicans, are in need of these programs than there are blue states. And yet only Marjorie Taylor Greene has stood up to Johnson and Trump, and she's one of Trump's closest allies, and said, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. My people are going without health care. If we've got a plan, where is it? I haven't seen it. So, yeah.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it's quite disturbing. We're prepared to go back. We've been there every week waiting for them, calling them out. Hakeem Jeffries is there permanently along with the leadership staff. And so are all of our staffs. But as you know, right now, during the government shutdown, as of today, people are not being paid.
I also want to point out another remark that Leader Thune made, and this is a remark that has been echoed now at the local level. We're hearing local Republicans in the Connecticut Senate, for example, saying a similar message that Republicans in Washington in the Senate have voted 15 times on a continuing resolution that would temporarily reopen the government, secure pay for federal employees, that they're siding with the unions, et cetera. What's the Democrats' rationale here in voting against the CR?
Oh, you mean the rationale for making sure that people aren't fed, that people don't have their health care, that people lose their health care or see their prices double? People are already starting to get these statements all across the country, and it's long overdue. I mean, come on. You know, people may have been born at night, but not last night. The reason the Democrats have voted no is because the very thing that they're fighting for, they haven't put in and said they're not going to include. They said they'll take it up later on. And that's what Johnson has said as well.
And you don't believe that?
Well, my grandfather Nolan had a great Irish saying and used to be, trust everyone, but cut the cards. And how about you cut the cards? We, in this case, the American people need a reshuffle and a new deal. A new New Deal, where everyone's at the table, sitting down and making sure what possible common sense to any of your listeners out there does it make to take away people's health insurance at a time when they need it the most or deprive people of SNAP benefits through the cuts that they have authorized and put in their budget plan. That's what people are holding out against. Frankly, that's the right thing to do, and I think the American people understand and know it.
Congressman Larson, in the second half of our conversation on Face Connecticut, I want to shift over to talk a little bit more about your bid to get reelected to a 15th term.
Sure.
I mean, right now there are so many frustrations, divisions that are happening in Washington, as we just spent the last 12 minutes on. You're 77 years old. You've been in office for 27 years. You're in your 14th term.
Right.
Why do you want to do more of this?
Why do I want to do more of it? Because what I want to do is see the programs that I've been working on, most notably Social Security. When we return and we're in the majority, I'll be the chair of the Social Security Subcommittee, and we'll finally have a chance after more than 50 years, Morgan, to make sure that we bring Social Security into this century. There hasn't been across-the-board enhancements to Social Security in more than 50 years. People deserve, especially those that are on fixed income, more than 40% of all the Social Security recipients, that is the only benefit that they have, and it hasn't been modified since Richard Nixon was president of the United States. When we were in the majority, I was the subcommittee chair. When we return, I'll be the subcommittee chair. We have the commitments, especially from Leader Jeffries, to take this bill up within the first 100 days. That's my focus. That's what I've continued to be focused on, and I'm also representing the people from this district. I find it interesting that people that are opposing me say, well, we agree with his voting record. We wouldn't vote any different than what he does. We think he's done a good job. We just think it's time for a change. Maybe some may feel that, et cetera, but I think these elections are about what you're going to deliver, what you've delivered for the people in your district, and we're more than happy to run on the record of what we've been able to do for all of our 27 communities that we represent, and also what we've been able to work on, from everything from health care to Social Security, to defense manufacturing, et cetera. I'm proud of the record that I've been able to establish and continue to run on. And if you're doing the job and you're producing for the district, and we have a specific goal, and we're going to be the chair of a committee in a system that's based on seniority, meaning you have to work your way up the ladder, And we've now been in a position, myself, Rosa DeLauro, Joe Courtney, all who have primaries, but we've worked to be in a position where we are now committee chairs and can deliver more for the state. I'll leave it up to the constituents of this district to see who can deliver best for this district and feel quite confident that they agree with the with what we've been able to produce and what we've been able to deliver.
How do you feel knowing that there are four Democrats, one Republican, vying for your seat at this point in time for an established seat here in Connecticut?
Well, listen, anyone can run for public office. That's certainly, you know, and we should always encourage that. That's not the, that doesn't faze me one way or the other. It's, so what are they running for? What are they running on? What are they going to do for the district that isn't being done? What are they campaigning for? And what will they deliver once they're in the Congress? And I'll stack my record and what we've accomplished, what we're currently working on and fighting for. This fight for us is every day. We're fighting Donald Trump every day. The other candidates are fighting me. We'll continue to fight Donald Trump. They can have their arguments and go through whatever steps that they feel are necessary, but we're running and we're focused on Donald Trump right now and making sure that people get their SNAP benefits and that we restore their health care benefits.
Your fiercest opponent, your fiercest criticism coming from this particular race happens to be somebody that you worked closely with for a period of about 8 years, and that would be former
exactly.
Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin. What's your read on that situation? How do you feel about him now?
Well, it's somewhat ironic, I guess you would have to say, especially for someone who nominated me and said I was the best congressman ever in this district and had done a great job and has, contributed to my campaign and told me in May that he fully supported me. Yeah, it's somewhat ironic, et cetera. But, you'll have to ask Luke Bronin that. You know, that's his decision, his call, et cetera. He's made that decision that he wants to run, and I think the public will judge him accordingly.
There have also been jabs in this race, which I've made note of, I think a lot of people have made note of, about who's raising what and how much money is being raised, right? And it shows, right. The latest report shows that both you and the former mayor are pretty close, between $1.1 and $1.2 million in fundraising efforts. Are you reading closely into those figures?
Not really. The mayor has been running for office for the last several years and been out raising money. Brian, what I normally do is that we raise money for other districts. The first congressional district is a blue district. It's going to be a Democratic seat. And we normally would not only raise money, but both pay dues and then give money to other candidates. And more importantly, I'm usually freed up to go to other states and to campaign on behalf of other candidates, specifically in the area of Social Security, et cetera, something that is an important program for 300 million of our fellow Americans. And so we're four seats away from taking back the majority. Am I becoming a chairman again? And Rosa DeLauro becoming chair of appropriations? And Joe Courtney, Connecticut has never been in a position like this before in our history. Now is the time, I think, to take advantage of that and work at it. And yes, I think we're going to continue to raise the money that we need. I wish that money were going to other states to help them get candidates there reelected. But instead, we'll be fending off a four-way primary here in the state of Connecticut.
The former mayor's also vowed that he's only going to accept individual contributions, not PAC or special interest money. He's called on you to do the same. How do you respond to that video of him?
He's able to take money from the CEOs of the very corporations that he says that he's condemning. Look, I'll let my record speak for itself, you know, and if the mayor is implying that somehow I've used money or somehow that I'm influenced by any money that we've taken in, so be it. But I don't think the record shows that. And I think, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do whatever it takes to raise the money that we need to get our message out there and to return the Democrats to a majority.
Your opponents are bringing up cost of living, housing. What's your vision to try to stabilize those costs from going higher?
Well, not only do we have a vision, we have a plan. We have a plan as it relates to health care. We have a plan as it specifically relates to food and SNAP benefits. And also, I happen to chair a couple of caucuses, most notably the manufacturing caucus as well, where we have to continue to build the jobs. I'm working very closely with Joe Courtney and Rosa DeLauro and Jim Hines and Johanna Hayes. Look at what we've done for manufacturing here in the state of Connecticut, both in terms of small businesses, but also in terms of Pratt & Whitney Aircraft and Electric Boat and Sikorsky and a number of the big manufacturers in this areas. Investment in manufacturing, investment in high-skilled and high-paying jobs, furthering the education and the skill sets of people is what this is all about. And it's also about the cost of living. And that becomes our main focus in terms of driving the cost of living down here in the state of Connecticut and all across the country. And that will continue to be our focus, those kitchen table issues where people are trying to make ends meet. And you do that by making sure that you're providing an opportunity and training for people to get the skill sets and the jobs that they need to be productive members of our society and have wages that will reflect that.
I've seen some reports, one of them being on the front page of the New York Post just the other day, with the election in New York City, the mayoral race, Zoran Mamdani being the leading candidate, that there's a concern among New Yorkers that his policies might jack up prices to the point in New York City where they decide to leave and maybe they come into Connecticut or New Jersey or something like that. And part of the problem in Connecticut is that we've been hearing about is this lack of housing supply. Is that a problem or an advantage that Connecticut might be able to take in more people if they were to leave New York, if they didn't like his policies or whatever?
What people do in New York, they will do. But in Connecticut, what we've done and working with the governor is also focus on housing itself and providing affordable housing, et cetera. I'm proud of the grants that we're able to get for communities from Hartford to Barkhamsted and allow even in our rural areas the opportunity for people to purchase affordable housing. Imagine someone graduating from college today. Number one, burdened with enormous amounts of debt to get through what it takes college today. And then secondly, not having a job that matches what they've paid. And then thirdly, being unable to afford a house that provides most working families with the major asset that they'll have throughout their lives. So those are the three areas, both the affordability of the education, the cost, and the ability to do that. I have a proposal that says for every year of community service that you provide, we'll provide you with 2 years of forgiveness of in-state college tuition. And so that there's a way for people to work their way through this, a way for affordable housing, a way to pay off their student loan debts, and a way to go to get the training, whether it's a college training or skill sets. Because as we see with the advent of AI, Morgan, that there's going to be more of a need for us to make sure that we're training our citizens in areas where they're going to be able to find jobs in an economy that is changing rapidly.
Congressman Larson, we're down to the last minute on Face Connecticut. I appreciate your time with us today. In this last minute that we have, what do residents in your district, the state's first district, need to know about you a year away from next year's election?
They've counted on me in the past. They've counted on me currently to both deliver for this district, and they can count on me again to go to Washington and work on their behalf. My focus is to make sure, because all Americans participate in Social Security, that the safety net of capitalism, the item that will provide us with the greatest all, and I think this isn't said enough, economic development plan for the country. All 435 congressional districts receive on average $280 million monthly from the federal government. That hasn't increased since 1971. Imagine, and what do people do with that money when they get it for Social Security? They spend it right back in the very communities, in the small businesses, in the grocery stores, in the pharmacies, paying for their heat and cooling their homes, their rent, their mortgage, putting gasoline in their automobiles. In these economic times, in these inflationary periods, what better thing to do than make sure the rank and file citizens, especially those on fixed incomes and those retirees, receive money? And as you know, Social Security is not only for the elderly, it's also the number one anti-poverty program for children and the number one program for disability, including veterans. And that's why it's so vitally important. That's what my focus will continue to be, to make sure that we're aiding and helping the people in the 1st Congressional District.
Congressman Larson, I appreciate your time. Let's have another conversation at another point in time during your campaign, okay?
Look forward to it. Thanks again, Morgan.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.